You know, I actually think there's something kind of holy about these days that are different, because it kind of helps us to remember that worship is not about whether or not there's donuts or how many people are here or any of the other things that we feel like we have to have. It's about raising our voices to God, to offer worship, to offer praise. And that simple act of worship is holy. And so I kind of love Sundays like today. And I'm glad that you're here. And I'm glad for those of you who have joined us online. This is a wonderful time for us to give thanks to God for this day and for this life. You know, today we're continuing our series called Teach Us to Pray, where we are walking very slowly and intentionally through the Lord's Prayer. Not just as words that we repeat from memory, but as a way of life that Jesus is forming in us. The Lord's Prayer is not only shaping what we say to God, it's also shaping who we are becoming, who God is shaping us to be. And so up front today might be the hardest part of the prayer, not because it's complicated or confusing, but because it's very personal, and because it asks so much from us. We're focusing today on forgiveness. It's that sentence that we quickly can say with our mouths while our hearts might hesitate behind it a little bit. And it might be the hardest part to pray because it kind of asks us some uncomfortable questions. Do I want forgiveness more than I want revenge? Do I want healing more than I want to hold on? Do I want control more than I want mercy? So today Jesus teaches us this prayer that helps to shape our relationship with God, but also reshapes our relationship with one another. And it's the line today that we are studying is from Matthew 6:12. And it is and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. So before we go any further, let's clear up something that many of us might have wondered about, especially those of us who were raised Methodist or in other traditions where prayers are memorized and repeated across generations. Some of us learned it as forgive us our trespasses. And some of us learned it as forgive us our debts. So if you've ever wondered which one is right, or if someone changed the Bible, the answer is no, nobody changed the Bible, and neither is wrong. What you're hearing is the difference between translation choices and historic traditions of worship. There's really three ways that this line shows up and understood. It shows up sometimes as debts, sometimes as trespasses, and sometimes as sins. And all three of those would be correct. Debts emphasizes this idea that something is owed, that something carries weight and cost. So for us, our debts that are forgiven by God, we owed something, and Jesus paid that price for us. Trespasses emphasizes crossing a line, like an offense, a violation. Some boundary has been broken. And sins emphasizes that we are missing the mark, that we are falling short of God's will, and we are stepping away from his heart. So they're different words, but they're all the same reality. Because sin sometimes is a mistake that we make, but it's also something that breaks relationship, that can cause damage, that creates distance, or that leaves wounds. And so Jesus teaches us that when we come to God, we are not coming to defend ourselves. We are coming to confess. We come to be forgiven. And Jesus also connects our prayer life to our real life. And he doesn't let us say, "Forgive me," while we refuse forgiveness to everybody else. Prayer is about devotion. Prayer is about asking, but prayer is also about transformation. That's one of the things that we've talked about as we've walked through the Lord's Prayer, is that prayer is formative, that it is forming us into the people that God is calling us to be. And that is no more true than right here in this line. Now, Jesus is really clear here. And I want to be careful. I don't want to soften what he says. But at the same time, I don't want to misrepresent the heart of the gospel. Some of us have heard this taught in sort of a threatening way. If you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. And when it's preached like that, it can kind of sound like God is holding his grace hostage, as if forgiveness is a transaction, or as if mercy comes with fine print. And that can weigh so heavy on people who have been deeply wounded. So, to talk about it really plainly, Jesus does connect God's forgiveness and our forgiveness. And we see that right after the Lord's Prayer. In 14 and 15 of that same chapter of Matthew, he says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses," there's where that trespasses word comes in, "if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And that's where we get that teaching. It's very strong and very direct, and we shouldn't ignore it. But what I believe Jesus is really doing is not saying that we have to earn God's forgiveness by performing enough forgiveness ourselves. He's not teaching that forgiveness is a paycheck or a prize. He's not teaching that mercy is withheld by God. But what he is teaching is that grace is meant to change us. That forgiveness isn't something we can receive and then lock away like a private gift. That when we receive the outpouring of mercy and grace of God, that we should become so changed that forgiveness is no longer an optional activity in our lives. That forgiven people become forgiving. That forgiveness, once it enters our hearts, reshapes our hearts. And that doesn't happen perfectly. It doesn't happen instantly. We don't become these people who forgive easily and instantly all of a sudden. But we do learn that when we refuse to forgive, when we cling to bitterness or nurture resentment and rehearse revenge, that it's not really affecting the other people, but it is hardening our own hearts. It blocks the flow of grace in our spirit. And it becomes harder to pray. It becomes harder to worship and harder to trust, harder to love. Not because God is petty, but because unforgiveness turns our hearts into clenched fists. And it's hard to receive anything from God when our hands are closed. Jesus is not trying to scare you into forgiveness. He is trying to free you to be able to forgive so that your own heart is not hardened. Paul takes this lesson from Jesus in verses 14 and 15 that I read, and he packages it for us really beautifully in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. He's writing to believers in Colossians who have already received grace. They've already been made new. And he says, because of who you are, because of what you have received, this is how you are to live. From Colossians 3, verses 12 through 14. Can I get those verses? There we go. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. I love how Paul starts with identity before instruction. Before he tells us anything, he tells us that we are chosen, holy, and beloved. Before he gives us a command, he reminds us who we are. And then he says, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. He reminds us that forgiveness is not a one-time action. It is a whole posture of life. And then Paul tells us something that is both practical and very honest. Bear with one another. Because as people, we know that we are going to get on each other's nerves sometimes. We understand that people will misunderstand us and disappoint us, say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing. We know that we will disappoint people, that we will misunderstand people, that we will say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing. The church is not a place where we never hurt each other. The world is certainly not a place where we never hurt each other. But the church is a place where Jesus teaches us what to do when we do hurt each other. Forgive one another as the Lord has forgiven you. And that's the model. Not forgive because they deserve it, or forgive because it wasn't that bad. Not forgive because you're supposed to pretend that it didn't happen, but forgive because Jesus forgave you. Forgive because you know what mercy is. Forgive because grace has rewritten your story. Grace has rewritten your life. So, that's sort of the head part of it, the part that we're supposed to learn, that we're supposed to know. But then we have to put it into practice. And we think, well, if forgiveness is so freeing and so central to the Christian life, why is it so hard sometimes? Why is this the hardest sentence to pray? Forgive us as we forgive. One reason is that we often confuse forgiveness with trust, and that confusion keeps us stuck. So I think it's really important to say that forgiveness is not the same thing as trust. Forgiveness is something you can offer because God has offered it to you. Trust is something that has to be built and rebuilt. Some people hear you have to forgive, and they think it means you have to go back to how it was. And that's not always true. Forgiveness does not mean that you pretend that something didn't happen. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you erase wisdom or boundaries, accountability, or consequences. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you call evil good. Forgiveness means that you release the debt into God's hands. And sometimes you can forgive while saying, I can't be close to you right now. Or this isn't acceptable behavior. Or this relationship needs healing and change before it is restored. Forgiveness and boundaries can coexist. Forgiveness and consequences can coexist. So I think that's one reason that forgiveness seems hard, because we feel like, or we think, that it means we have to pretend something that hurt us didn't happen. That is not the case. Forgiveness is also hard because it feels unfair sometimes. We really want justice. We want things to balance out, and we want people to feel what we felt or carry what we carried or pay what they owe. And so forgiveness can kind of feel like saying it doesn't matter. But that's not what forgiveness is saying. Forgiveness is saying, it matters so much that I will not carry it anymore. It is so heavy that I will not let myself be poisoned or hardened by what happened. Bitterness can feel really powerful for a moment, but it makes a terrible home. Unforgiveness can feel like control, but it slowly becomes prison that you make for yourself. You replay the moment, you rehearse the argument, You try to win this case in your mind, and you think that you're holding them accountable, but you're the one losing sleep. And Jesus doesn't want that for you. That is what Jesus is trying to free us from. And sometimes forgiveness is hard because some wounds are just so deep. Some people in this room have been hurt in small ways. And some people in this room have been deeply betrayed, abandoned, abused, or humiliated. Truly harmed. And when you hear the word forgive, it might sound like someone is trying to dismiss your pain. But Jesus doesn't ask you to pretend. He doesn't ask you to deny what happened or to erase the past. I think the biggest lesson that we have to learn is that forgiveness is not excusing. It is releasing your right to revenge and entrusting justice to God. And it's important to remember that it's not just a moment. It is a long walk of obedience. Sometimes you forgive in layers. You forgive the pain, but then it surfaces again. And so you forgive again. Or you forgive and then you see their name and you remember the moment and your body reacts and you whisper, "Lord, help me forgive again." It doesn't mean that you failed. It just means that you're healing and God is with you in that process. So what does it actually look like to pray this line, "Forgive us as we forgive"? It begins when we realize forgiveness is first not about the other person. It's about what God is doing in us. When Jesus teaches us this prayer, he is forming us into people who reflect his heart, that we are taking those steps to become more like Christ each and every day. Forgiveness may be the hardest sentence to pray, but it also may be the most Christ-like sentence to pray. Because Jesus didn't just teach forgiveness, he lived it. On the cross, carrying betrayal and violence and suffering, he prayed, "Father, forgive them." Because that is what God is like. God does not deny sin. God defeats sin with mercy. Today, I invite you into something really simple but brave. I want you to listen for the Holy Spirit, not for shame or condemnation, but for invitation. Who is God bringing to mind? What debt are you still holding? What moment still has a grip on you? And you may not be ready to say, "I feel forgiving," but you can begin to say, "Lord, I am willing for you to make me willing." And that is a holy beginning. Choosing obedience. Choosing to begin to heal. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you have forgiven us more than we can possibly measure, and you have canceled debts that we can never repay. You have met us with mercy when we deserved judgment. And so today we bring you the names that we struggle to say and the moments that we can't forget, and we bring you the pain that we still carry, and God, we release them to you. Not because what happened was okay, but because you are God and we are not. Heal our hearts. Free us from bitterness. Teach us compassion. Give us grace. And make us more like you. Forgive us as we forgive. Help us to forgive as you forgive. In the name of Jesus.